recording. The time is now 9:04. It's the 5th of February. And we'll open up this Noxious Weed Control Board meeting. The first thing that we can do is take roll call. Lee Wells?
Here.
All right. District 2 is vacant. Bill?
Yep.
All right. And Jerry?
Yes.
And Randy?
Present.
And Justin O'Day? Justin
I'm
O'Day?
Here.
Yay, there you go.
Okay. Right. Yeah, okay. That's J-O, okay.
And I'm Justin Colell. I'm the coordinator. I'm here. We also have Chris Walker, Kevin Tyler, and I don't think we have anybody else who's going to call in or anything else, but the Teams meeting is open, and I can admit people if they do call in. Great. Okay. Next, we can have the board elect the chair, vice chair, and secretary from your membership.
I move we status quo.
I'm sorry, what was that, Justin? I was looking at something else.
Oh, no problem. Item number two, we're going to elect the chair, the vice chair, and the secretary from the membership of the board.
Oh, okay.
So I think Randy's motion is that Jerry would be the chair.
Yes.
And Bill's the vice chair.
I'm currently the vice chair, yeah.
Who wants to be the secretary? It's a name-only sort of position. You won't really...
But it has to be from the board.
But it has
it can't
to be
one of the staff members.
Yeah, yeah, per the bylaws.
Yeah.
Got one left.
Got who?
You guys can wrestle.
I don't wrestle.
Yeah, I'm not going to wrestle.
He's senior man.
I'm the old...
Yeah, I didn't say that way.
Okay, so is the
motion... Well, I'll nominate Lee Wells then.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
If Lee, if you'll take it anyhow.
You won't have to do anything, I promise.
I'll help you
out. That sounds great.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So there's a motion. Randy made the motion, and then I think, Bill, you seconded it?
Yes.
Okay.
Or I made the motion. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Lee was nodding his head anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. So if there's no other discussion, we can take a vote on it. All in favor?
Yeah, aye.
All right.
Okay. And any opposed? Okay. Then the motion passes. And, as Randy put it, we have the status quo. Okay. Mr. Chairman, you can take over.
Okay. The first order of business, review the minutes from the previous meeting and vote to approve or correct.
I got a question on one. Mm-hmm. The second colored area. Mm-hmm. Down about the third, fourth line, it says per weed per day.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be per species per day?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can make that.
Yes.
Change.
It sounds like every weed.
Every weed, but yeah, I'm with you, Randy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Good cat.
Yeah, maybe we could have it say per weed species.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only species we care about on that property are the noxious weed species. But yeah, we have per parcel, which is correct, per weed species, okay? Per day, yes, if not controlled, in the future. And how that's going to work, just as another aside, is that if those plants are in flower and they're starting to set seed, that's a violation of the land management plan.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says controlled in the future, to put a finer point on that, it's that you can't let it start to have the flowers fade and make seed. You got to have it controlled before that.
And that was, I just all of a sudden, senior moment.
The B&B investments?
Yeah, but it was Hemlock, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Make that correction.
Okay. I'll move we accept the minutes with the correction or the change.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to adopt the minutes with that correction on the action item, changing from weed to weed species. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Motion carried. Looks like it's back to you.
Great.
Justin?
I'll give a few updates for you just on the weed list as it comes to us from the State Noxious Weed Control Board. They've changed three things that are pertinent for this board to consider. Beyond that, there was a change to some state level designations for other regions, other weeds in other regions, but nothing else that concerns us. So we have three things. You have a picture on the Washington State Noxious Weed List of Palmer amaranth. That's a new Class A noxious weed. Hopefully I got that one circled on your packets under the Class A noxious weed, Palmer amaranth. And we have some around here that look pretty darn close to it, but it's the red root pigweed and the other related species. So they did find this out in eastern Washington. So they definitely want to crack down on it, as it can be a huge problem in agriculture.
I've got a question for you on that weed. Is there something else that looks like it? It doesn't...
Yes.
What I'm trying to say, I think I've seen a couple of those, but they're not real prolific. You know,
yes,
solid, not solid everywhere. You see one that pops up. It's got a broader leaf, I think a fuzzy leaf on it.
Right, we have several lookalikes actually. So I'll pull up some pictures here, because like I say, a red root pigweed, we have lots of that
around
here.
And that better not be a noxious weed.
So here you go, here's a good picture. Palmer on the left, Powell in the middle, red root pigweed, smooth,
red roots
and water hemp. So you have lots that that are lookalikes. And in the case of Eastern Washington, they did a DNA test to actually ascertain which one they had. But you can see the seed head looks like the best way to tell them apart.
Does the seed head always tip over like that?
It looks like it's pretty standard to have it be, very pendulous.
Pigweed doesn't. But it's
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where do you tend to find that one, or what's the?
Yeah, disturbed places. So fields, okay. Maybe roadsides, but it's a problem in agriculture. Yeah, it's very hardy, and as you can see, produces lots of seeds, just like the red root pigweed. Anytime you plow, those seeds just will come up and you'll get a whole carpet of it.
Okay. They normally grow like 4 feet, 5 feet tall?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they as delicious to pigs as red root is?
I would imagine so.
Okay.
Yeah, we could.
I was always amazed. Boy, I'll tell you what, they love red root pigweed. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
And then, and they come up in the late summer, the pigweeds. I mean, everything else is dead and running out, and they just take off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have any. I just see them. Everybody's got them.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that Eastern Washington, we would have trouble with Palmer amaranth. I know they talk about it in the Midwest quite a bit, with the corn and stuff. That, yeah.
I'm not sure what I was just looking for the article. Oh, there we go. Oh, there we go. Yep.
So it's herbicide resistant. What herbicides have they used on it, do you know?
Yeah, let's look and see what that says.
Because I can't imagine it being resistant to the Christmas herbicide.
It says multiple classes of herbicides.
Okay.
I think that one of them was glyphosate, because glyphosate has lots of resistance. But we can go back and take another look at this. And if you want more information on this one, I can always send you over what the state noxious weed board has for their findings, because they have some pretty good, let's see. Yep, so they didn't go into it right there, but you can always go right down to the weed list, class A, and now it's on there, so P. Palmer. Maybe they have not updated their page yet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if they've got it in the search. Oh, they've got it in the search. Okay. All right, so yeah, they just don't have it listed up there yet. Let's see. Easily invades, annual crops, prolific seed producer, many herbicide resistances. So usually they have a link to their written findings. Mm-hmm. They have that down here. Resistant to many herbicides. Change weapon of action. Okay, resources. So they don't have it quite yet. Mm-hmm. Usually they would have something on here from them about their written findings.
Mm-hmm.
Hey Justin,
so we'll look for them.
Go back up to the top photo. It's the same photo on that left side, but it was bigger there. Okay.
This one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's always doing this with some of its seed head. Hairless weed. All right. So, yeah, we can look at one of these. And always get the big photos too.
Interesting thought.
Yeah. Starts off looking a lot like red root pigweed. Okay. Little bit of differences. Giant cetus. So they're male and female plants. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Small seeds, just like.
Well, it looks like
pretty
crazy. Yeah. Yeah, so they got this picture again. That's a nice picture. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Whoopee, we got another one.
Yep.
Yeah. Plenty more where that came from. So, second change, cruising right along, is that we did get a hybrid variable leaf milfoil when it crosses with the native. Hyperoides is the species. Now that hybrid is listed as a Class A as well, which makes our situation in Clark County a lot more clear for us. It's all Class A. And then finally, on the Class C noxious weeds, we have the beach grasses. And right up near the top, hopefully it's circled on your page, the European, American, and hybrid beach grasses, Ammophila arenaria, and among others there. And I brought up a few things to look at on this. for the beach grasses. Let's see, there's the picture. So it's of concern because it'll make a monoculture, and it's also a concern for erosion of the sand dunes. So
I thought it was supposed to stabilize the sand dunes better.
Yeah, I thought they planted it.
Yeah, huh? I think it's both. Yeah.
Oh.
So I think that it has to do with fire, if I'm not mistaken. After it burns, then it can erode. But
I don't see anything. Well,
yeah.
Christmas trees,
right.
Randy's trees.
Yeah. Anything.
But you're right. It is something that they intentionally have tried to actually keep there for the erosion. And it does a pretty good job of it when it's there. So this was a little bit controversial at the state weed board level to actually get this listed as a noxious weed.
Do we have any of it here, Justin?
Not that I know of. No.
It's pretty much strictly at the beach, isn't it?
I would say Long Beach.
Looks like Long Beach there. Yeah. Across the bay.
Yeah, it's all up and down the Oregon and Washington coast. Okay. Probably California too.
Yeah.
But pretty much strictly at the coast. Yeah. It's not this far inland here.
No.
Okay. All right. I'll quit looking for it.
Yeah.
And the birders like it because it's good nesting grounds.
Oh, huh?
For a lot of the birds.
The ground nesting birds, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like I was saying, the ecosystem concerns and native species concerns are a lot of why it's being listed. It pushes out the native grasses, and that's a problem ecologically. And then it is creating larger and more permanent sand dunes than the native dunes, native plants would make those dunes. So it changes the hydrology and ecology of the habitat, and it's very prone to wildfires. So that's some of the rationale of listing it. But like I say, it was a little bit controversial. And so it is undesignated, it's a Class C. The counties can choose at their discretion to list it for local control or not, and just leave it undesignated. So it does leave it open. And that's the only stuff that that pertains to us this time around. Okay.
Okay. So then we need to recess this meeting and open it for a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do that now. And if we have anything from the public on the list, not hearing or seeing anyone, I will close the public hearing and reopen the board meeting.
Okay.
And we'll move on to discussion of the weed list and selection of additional noxious weeds.
I wonder if I might put in a word at this point.
Sure.
About our weed list and how it looks from last year. Printed off the 2023 weed list. The little asterisks that we've got on here, I feel like that works really well. To have it be official when I'm talking with the public, when things are selected for control, if we're mandating that. The only one that's not got a little asterisk on it that might be helpful for us to consider would be Scotch broom.
Yeah.
Because currently, without an asterisk, this means that everywhere Scotch broom is designated for control, and that would be nice if everybody would at least be cutting it down or stopping it from going to seed. But I feel like the reality is that it's way beyond that point. It's such that it's all along the state highways, and every time you turn around, somebody's got Scotch broom. So because of the widespread distribution, we might consider similar language to this one asterisk, where it says control is not mandated unless the weeds are within 100 feet of a neighboring property that is producing agriculture, with the understanding that a tree farm is producing agriculture. That's in that category. Therefore, anytime we have somebody who's concerned with Scotch broom, that we could reach out to the person whose neighbor is and say, well, since your neighbor is a tree farm, this is designated at the county level, without then requiring every single place. I can think of lots of places where they have both tansy ragwort and Scotch broom. And I just want them to get their tansy down. And currently, they're both on the same priority level, I guess is how you could look at it. They're both designated for control. So technically, I should be going out there and saying, well, you got your tansy down, but now you have to get your Scotch broom down because it's designated everywhere. When in reality, I just don't respond to that level on Scotch broom everywhere. I guess the facts of boots on the ground is, if I get somebody who complains about Scotch broom and they're, you know, a tree farm, or they're growing seedlings, or whatever the case may be, then yeah, I'm right out there making sure that the neighbor is.
I was going to say, Scotch broom for most of general agriculture isn't much of a problem.
Yeah.
But like with Randy, with trees and stuff, I suppose it could, especially a new seedling or new seeding or something or other. And
cut them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right after you clear it, then
comes up.
That's a big issue. Mm-hmm. And to get the replant to actually take and to get the release of those seedlings, you definitely.
What do you use on it? Garlon?
You can. Yeah, Garlon 4 would probably work pretty well. We've used Milestone and Garlon together in the past. That works well. Main thing with it is just got to get really good coverage all the way around, and it can get big, so that can get a little dicey if you've got some desirable trees right next to it and you're trying to, you know.
Yeah.
You have to be a surgeon with stuff like that, because Milestone's active against all your seedlings. So
if you cut it off and doctor the stump?
Okay. I mean, that's more work. Yeah, that's more work. But you certainly can be a lot more precise.
If you get after it right away.
And that's what you would do with Garlon 4. Garlon 4 right. Ultra is really good for the cut stump.
Oh, cut stump. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I know is I was going to buy some. I thought, you spoke so highly of it. And do you know how much they went for that stuff?
Well, yeah. That's the thing.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I thought some of my other stuff was expensive, and holy cow.
What's that, Garlon 4?
Garlon 4, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember now what it was, but it was, for a 2.5, it was, you know.
I use a lot of that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
For maple?
Everything.
Oh. It's got a higher percentage of the active ingredient. So, if you read the label, you might not be using it in the exact same way. So, especially if you're doing cut stump treatment, you might notice that 2.5 lasts a lot longer.
Yeah.
Versus, if you mix up, solution.
What would happen if you used a chainsaw with a 48-inch bar and cut the
Scotch broom off?
Scotch broom off. Then painted it.
Well, that's
you can. Yeah, you can.
That's kind of
smaller. If it's smaller Scotch broom, it might be slapping around a lot though with a chainsaw, because those can get, if they're just the little first year Scotch broom, they can make a little carpet, and chainsaw probably
would be great. Got some.
But if it's a big one, then that would be faster than loppers for sure.
Sure.
And you're using the Garlon just straight. You're not using any.
I would look at the label. I'm pretty sure it's a 50-50 or a 10%.
Oh, okay.
It's I don't know that it's straight. Maybe for basal bark, but I would have to read the label again before I start going out on a limb.
we're getting recorded, so.
Yeah. So, Justin, on Scott's room, what are you looking for? Would you like a motion from the board here?
My guidance would just be the first asterisk language, where we talk about producing agriculture. We can understand producing agriculture as tree farms included. As we already do. I mean, if they have thistle or whatever else, that we already do. That would be my guidance. The first asterisk. We can add one of those first asterisks, one asterisk, and that's just Scotchbrook.
So I would move that we added a single asterisk to Scotch Broom to designate it on agriculture. Yeah.
Okay.
Need a second?
Yeah.
Yep.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to add a single asterisk to Scotch Broom. Any other discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, same. Okay. We'll make that correction to our list. And then do we need next to vote to adopt that whole list?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, as we've amended it.
Okay.
Do you have any other changes or anything else you want to see to it?
No.
Okay.
Okay, I move we adopt the current list. That's under Clark County.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the list as changed there with Scotch Broom. Any other discussion on that? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same. Okay. We need to recess the meeting again. Open for public hearing on District 2 board member applications, which you have one in front of you. And hearing and seeing no public, I will close the open public hearing and reopen the board meeting and move to item number 9 for discussion and or whatever we need there.
Just a helpful note, Sherry wanted to be here. She had something come up right at the last few moments, so she can't attend. She wanted to be here with the teams calling in, but personal reasons, she couldn't be here. So she's still interested, but couldn't make it.
Okay. And she gave us all the information and addresses everything that we need.
Yeah, she gave us the 10 signatures, mm-hmm. and I just printed off the page with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About mid-page. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was she the only applicant?
She was the only applicant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did somebody search her out, or did she see it come up?
We actually put out the call.
Yeah.
And so in addition to what we usually do, we have kind of a network. But there are some people who volunteer with Camas and people that we actually know that we say, hey, do you want to do it? And then they said, no, but I know some people. So it was kind of a friend of a friend networking contact. There was one that I met at a conference and lived in Portland, works in Portland, lives in Camas. And so I thought, whoa, Camas, that's District 2. So I said, hey, you don't like our letters. You're familiar with us. How'd you like to be on the board? This was the only, that's not her, that's not Sherry. This was the only one that completed the application and the 10 signatures specifically. Yeah. Other people were interested, but then when you get to that part.
I don't know if I could come up with 10 friends that would sign for me.
Yeah. Well, and it's supposed to be in your district too.
Yeah.
The neighbors.
Yeah.
And it's been a while for you guys, but
And I didn't think 10 signatures were required anymore.
Yeah, still is. I asked the state level people about that, the state noxious weed board, kind of just asked them about it to say, what's the deal with this? You know, is this still a thing? She said that back in the day, way back, they wanted to have the board members be elected. And then, failing that, you know, they couldn't quite get that to go through.
Expensive.
And yeah, and so this is somewhat to show that you have the, you know, contact and support with people in your district. Yeah. Yeah.
So. You don't post the 10 signatures? That...
Not that part, no. No, just the vacancy.
I would like to see if there was somebody you knew that would back it or two.
So when you were
you
talking to her, did she
I think you could request
plan on attending the meetings?
Well, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not just video or request, something.
Oh, disclosure.
I mean, actually attending.
She'd have to give it to in person or.
She didn't specify if she would be on Teams or in, but she just happens to be out of town dealing with
for this one, but I was just...
Yeah, for this one.
She could make some, because that's a long grind, too, to get here from Camas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First thing, Randy's got a ways, but Camas 14 or backcountry...
It's all downhill for Randy.
Well, that's true. That's true. And he'll probably figure something else to
float
do.
Float now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so, you want to wait until Lee comes back to vote?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll make the motion to recommend her for District 2 applicant.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll
wait for Lee.
Wait a minute on Lee.
Randy, you harvesting any timber?
No. I got some blowdown I'd like to get out, but price isn't up enough for me.
No. Ah.
They did start buying pulp again.
Is that right?
And that was shut completely off.
Oh, really?
Who's buying?
Pack Fiber.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you shipping in for pulp? Mostly alder?
Small fir, small hemlock.
Oh, huh.
Or rotten fir, rotten hemlock.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Lee, we went ahead and made the motion for her to be accepted. We're waiting for you for a vote. So, since you're back, we can vote. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to think of that. It's important. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to have Sherry be District 2 representative. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same. Okay, we can welcome Sherry to the board.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. Yep.
All right.
So she's nominated, recommended to council.
Go to council first. Yeah, yep, that's mm-hmm. right.
Okay.
All right. Well, number 10 is yours.
Great. I'll give you guys a couple of numbers here. So 2023, we had more people stopped by our fair booth than last year. This year we had 1,047 people who we had some engagement with, not just that they were physically close to us and didn't even see what we were doing, but they stopped and they looked and maybe they talked with us or maybe they, you know, took a brochure or whatever the case may be. But I count them as long as I say hi and they say hi and we're, you know, they're putting eyes on posters right. And stuff like that. Stuff's in front of them. And earlier in the year, the Spring Home and Garden Idea Fair that's put on by CPU, we had 531 of those same sort of thing where people are checking out what we're putting up on our signs and everything. So I like to put the control tansy ragwort signs, the road signs prominently at our fair booth, so that for better or worse, we can we can be associated with that. And people can maybe generate some conversation about that. So yeah, total of $1,578. And quick update on civil infractions. All the civil infractions that we've previously talked about and gone through, those are all settled one way or another now, paid or, you know, I mean, the only one that's outstanding now is the Strunks that went to delinquent tax to hopefully be collected with the taxes for parcel. So everybody else was either where we just voided the civil infraction or got them paid. Those are taken care of now, except for Strunks. Those new Tansy Ragwort, the roadside signs, I'll get those ordered soon. I wanted to get the 10% off coupon that signs.com, so I'll get those put in. And I was very pleased with the quality of the resolution and materials and everything. So,
good.
Yeah, they get a discount when you order them in bulk.
So how many did you order, Justin?
Well, so far it was just six to make sure that it was good quality.
Oh, okay,
and then
okay.
And I could see the resolution on
yeah.
that. Like the logo you could read and it wasn't smeared and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I figured if I order six of them, then I can see if the first one's good and then the quality goes, you know, bad by the sixth one or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all good, so okay. I'd like to order 100 of them. And that way, we're a little bit insulated for the future on, mm-hmm. you know, some of these high attrition areas where people get out there and take the sign, or they hit the sign, or it gets hit by a mower or a car, or I don't know what.
How many do you usually put out?
50.
50?
Yeah. Not 50. 30. We changed it so that it's 10 per area. So yeah, 30. And I want to use up the old signs too. Not just get rid of them in completely. But I'll probably have the old signs in the high attrition areas where they seem to get taken out. Yeah, and then the new signs, I'll put them in creative places or the places that they seem to stick around and we collect them back at the end of the year again. And
when you go to, when you do have signs, could I get a sign to put on, or do, am I allowed to put the sign on my place or whatever?
I think so, yeah. I think
okay.
we could spare one, sure.
Sure, okay.
We were considering having a few of the old ones at the fair too, just like, here you go. You
mm-hmm.
want
yeah.
have somebody that we're talking to and they say, oh yeah, I've got a spot. Because mm-hmm. we did notice somebody
right next to my neighbor's.
Up, but yeah, yeah, somebody moved it and put it in their neighbor's driveway. So that would be funny. Okay, and then our two field inspectors were 9-month positions, but they're now converted to 12-month positions. What that means as a whole is that we'll probably retain them longer, since they're not looking for work 3 months out of the year. And mm-hmm. that knowledge base, that training we get to keep. But since we don't have Tansy to enforce on and Poison Hemlock to look at, for these off months, they'll be working over with the other side of the house in noxious weed control on county lands. So they're putting down pre-emergence right now. And
so when they were on 9 months, were they considered temporary?
They're considered seasonal. So they're full time. They work 40 hours a week.
And so temporary is different than seasonal?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. So temporary workers, you know that your position at any time is pretty up in the air. You know, they could choose to not show up tomorrow. I mean, they can't, but we could lay them off, you know, tomorrow or at any time. They're hired through a staffing company. So temporary workers are not county employees.
Hmm.
They're hired through a staffing company. But a seasonal employee goes on furlough, has their position established such that you can
be pretty rest assured that you will be coming back next year, should you choose to continue with the county. And you get the benefits and so on. You're a county employee here.
My concern was there, when these 9 months went to 12 months, if they considered them temporary work, that's why they reduced the budget on temporary, but that's not the case.
So Kevin can speak more specifically to this, but the 12-month position change, since they're going to be working on county lands and they're going to be helping out on that other side, they're billing their time to those other existing agreements and contracts and stuff. So it's not like our temporary budget on the field inspection side got reduced since our people got converted over from 9 month to 12 month, but the temporary worker budget getting reduced has more to do with how we are hiring people. So now we have actual project positions, which are separate from the field inspectors that we already had. But now we have four new project positions, and those ones are in the same pool as the temporary workers that are through the staffing company. So the same pool of money has to get used for those project positions.
Yeah, so overall, there's no budget reduction, right? All we did was move money from one category to another. Mm-hmm. So because what we found is hiring temporary employees through a temp agency was not great for retaining employees, right?
Yep.
And we were also seeing a pattern of, typically you hire a temporary seasonal worker for up to 6 months, mm-hmm. and we were extending people to 9 months. And so it was regular occurrence of 9 month employees that helped us to justify that we need 9 month employees. So what we did is we moved budget from one category to another category so we could hire 9 month, and we call them project positions, so it's for a period of 2 years they're hired on into these 9 months, so they can work 9 months this year, 9 months next year, and that helps with retaining employees. And then our plan is to attempt to convert those to permanent employees in the future.
So when you have these temporary employees, no, not temporary, seasonal employees,
doing
9 months, are they eligible for unemployment then the other 3 months?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're eligible for most of the county benefits, not all of the county mm-hmm. benefits. And okay. So we also looked at the cost of these project employees and all of the benefits that they would receive versus the cost of a temporary seasonal employee and the overhead that we're paying these temp agencies, and it was pretty close. I think we're paying a little bit more for project employees.
You think
but I think the overall benefits
are retaining them.
Yeah, we don't have to train them.
Justin said you don't have to retrain when they go find something else.
So I guess I'm kind of surprised because, man, looking through a temp agency, I mean, man, you pay a
premium.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you do. Or they can't find you what you need.
Uh-huh,
right,
yeah.
Right? You know, those are a couple of things that we were struggling with recently. Mm-hmm.
My concern was that as much as possible, if we retain employees, then we've vetted them to some degree.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you're representing the county, my interest is that you have your facts straight, that you're advising the landowners of the right things,
mm-hmm.
and that we know that person hopefully can go out on their own and be by themselves and be self-led and get things done.
And be a good representative of the county?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, back to this temporary worker budget reduced. So are we going to see a reduction in personnel at all, or is it just going to be kind of a shift back and forth?
Yeah, it's mostly a shift.
Okay.
We shouldn't see much reduction in overall personnel.
Okay.
I mean, just the cost of employees continues to go up. So if we compare what we're going to have this field season with, pre-COVID, it's less people. But this year to last year, no, it's the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for my side of things with my crew, we'll have one of those project positions working right alongside the others. So we do still have somebody doing that. They'll be, you know, in a truck, and we'll make sure that we get them trained. If it's somebody who's already known to us, it's an internal person, then that usually goes a lot faster because they already have ID experience and that sort of thing. So we'll see how that shakes out. But yeah, I'm hopeful that we can have it added incentive and then some more.
What are the project positions you're talking about?
So, you mean what are their duties or what are they?
What? Yeah, because the project would start and end.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then they move to a different project.
Yeah, so it's like Kevin was saying.
But this milfoil, you hiring somebody to do that, you're not putting some of your people in on
that. Oh, no, I'm doing that, and I'm leaning on staff to do those surveys, yes. Yeah. So,
it's in-house.
Billing their time. Yeah, they're then billing their time to that grant. Yeah.
Yeah, so when they're doing project that. Position is a generic title or classification. It the just means that it's for a period of time, mm-hmm. and it's a mm-hmm. two-year period of time. We have the possibility of extending for another two-year period or converting those to permanent positions, but in terms of like they're assigned to a specific project, we have more flexibility than that.
This sounds about like we have, our daughter-in-law has decided that hiring for the store position, it's better to hire them. You know, you can interview and they interview great, but then you hire them and the next thing you know is, you know, your 2 week period is up. So yeah. So anyhow, I was wondering too, now are you going to be bringing on new personnel this year? Still, you've got other people. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and that's why I put on there specifically that the temp worker budget is reduced. It's probably going to be the case that we see a lot of our same people return, but as far as how many, you know, temporary people are we hiring through staffing company, you know, not as many, and we'll probably have, you know, all the same headaches, no matter which staffing company it is. So, yeah, still we're still always trying to do that, but. We'll see. And then just a brief little update on variable leaf milfoil. We completed the year with some changes. The four properties got treated. That's all been done. We got the bill from the contractor on that. So that part's taken care of. But Warren Seeley didn't get done, and the latest word on Warren Seeley is that the landowner would like to not have herbicide treatment after all, and continue to use manual removal, and he's going to work with the blueberry farm to install a system that my understanding is it aerates the lake so that you have possibly a benefit of increased decomposition and aerobic activity that would maybe move some nutrients out of the water, make it a little bit less hospitable for the weeds. But from the limited amount of research I've done, it seems like it can go either way. Depending on the actual site conditions and the installation of, I don't even know what equipment they're going to use, but it seems like you can have increased plant growth with everything getting stirred up. So remains to be seen if that's going to actually reduce the plant growth all on its own. But as long as the landowner continues to effectively remove the milfoil with manual efforts, he can keep making progress on that eradication. But that said, it's going to be quite difficult to get every last seed for every last fragment and the milfoil fragments.
It doesn't take much to get it restarted, either, does it?
Right. Yeah. So you have a big, shallow, essentially mud puddle. Then you have light getting all the way to the bottom, and plenty of resources when you're talking about nutrients. It's all there, ready for the plants to go. So that was an interesting development. I think that has more to do with the blueberry farmer and his representative working with the landowner there at Warren Seeley. So,
is that we'll milfoil going downstream?
Yeah, so that's the big concern, is every time.
Have you noticed it downstream, though?
I've searched downstream and haven't found any.
Haven't found it yet.
It just turns into Rock Creek eventually, but it starts out being a ditch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, at that ditch, we've looked and haven't found any. And directly downstream, along the ditch, is a water ski lake. And that is very extensively managed. So if it shows up there, then we'll know, because they take care of it very actively. So next steps on variable leaf. Since the hybrid is now listed officially, then that makes all of that plant go from an unknown quantity to that's class A, has to get eradicated. So we have several more sites now that I can line up treatment. We can refresh our scope of work for the contractor. If we can effectively use that contractor still, we're working on how to get the next round of treatment done. If it's not that contractor, then it might be the case that we can work with the State Department of Fish and Wildlife, because there's a contact that I have there who's expressed willingness to work with us to get some treatments done. So we'll see how things shake out. My contact person with the Department of Ecology has moved on. So we'll have to see the direction that the replacement person wants to take this. I imagine that it'll be pretty much status quo, but you never know. And remains to be seen exactly how they want to continue with this grant. So we have more money that's still not spent that we can use. It's just a question of how do we get the remaining sites treated. So the biggest remaining site by far is the Sugawa Brothers Reservoir. That's not too far from Warren Seeley. And that one has the hybrid. So that's good for us to have that listed as Class A.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, if you guys have any other questions on that, then I'd be happy to answer. You should think of something, shoot me an email. But there are a couple of sites now, Warren Seeley and that other site where they declined the herbicide treatment, where I'll just have to keep going back to them and just keep surveying, touching base with them, and keeping an eye on things to make sure that they're doing all the best practices that I can, you know, get them to do. Some of this stuff isn't really, it's a little different with aquatic weeds. So I'm always trying to get them to try to not let anything go downstream from their water body. If we can get that to work, that would be the best. It's in line with the intention of not letting things go to sea or property.
So mechanically, I mean, you know, you're talking about not letting it go downstream. I mean, my gosh, you know, knowing a lot of these weeds, I assume milfoil is about like quack grass is my gosh, and all it takes is just a little segment. And
exactly.
And gosh, you know, you're trying to mechanically remove it, and gosh, if a little bit gets away from you, well, yeah.
So one of the things is that his spillway doesn't typically have water emptying all year round. So if he was to be removing when there's not an outflow, that's a little better.
Yeah.
As far as having things wash downstream. But that said, this milfoil goes into a phase at the end of its growing season where it automatically fragments. Ooh. And it decides, yep, now it's time to spread, and it breaks itself off. And little growing tips where it branches, they turn the leaves very tightly into little little ball-shaped new growth of leaves. And then those float for some time, and it's just like the worst case scenario. So in addition to the seeds that the flowers can make and the ball-shaped new leaves that can float around after they break off, any, like you're saying, any section, usually if it has one of those
a node,
then that's especially problematic, because that can send off new roots, it can send off new flower leaves, and it can find a slow place or a still place and then reroot. So
they are susceptible to a fine if they don't control it to what you think they should be doing.
Yeah, and I'm going to require that they keep making progress, not that they. And he knows that, you know, he's got to keep doing enough of it that he's not going backwards, basically, you know, not doing less effort or what should I say? The infestation can't be getting worse, and he can't be spreading it around. Yeah. He's got to do everything that he can do reasonably. You know, declining the herbicide treatment is... just means that there's going to be more work that he has to do on the manual side of things. All right.
Okay.
Yep, done with that.
Hearing no public comment again, or seeing no public, go to items from the board. Any other questions from you guys?
I've just got one comment, and that is, I'm on the board of the Ridgefield Junction Neighborhood Association, and it isn't just Ridgefield people. We have an annual meeting with, it's a county meeting with the neighborhood associations in the county all the way around, and usually we always have 100 people show up, or plus. Right in there. We have it at Dollar Tree, and I'm just throwing it out. Maybe Justin or somebody might want to come forward and say something about Tansy. I wouldn't go into the milfoil or that. But Justin, I'm a little ahead of the game. They're actually having a meeting tomorrow night, and I'm going to be on Olympia, and we're having another one at the end of the month. But it's usually the third Monday in May is where it's at, and it's at Dollar Tree. I will have to breach the subject tomorrow night or the one later in the month about it. We already have somebody from the county coming on taxation benefits for seniors.
Yeah.
And I think at $65,000 or less, you can get a taxation cut if your income is below that. So I'm pursuing that part first, but we'll see about minutes. The fire department's got 10 minutes. The Port of Ridgefield's got 5 minutes. The city of Ridgefield's got 20 minutes. And it starts, I believe, at doors open at 6, starts at 6:30, and it's done by 7:30, an hour. And it's run that way for years, and when 7:30 gets here, the lights go out. I mean, they don't go on and on and on. Yeah. And it's pretty tight scheduled. So I will probably bring it back and actually I see our next meeting is May 6th, so it would be prior to that, but, and I'll get in touch with you before, because we have a board meeting once a month. But I didn't know whether it was something you might, the WEED board might be interested in, to just give a just short snippet and when you need to start controlling them and that, and throw a number out there, or have, they do have tables there too, where a person could put some information out for people after the meeting that can mill around a little bit. So I was just throwing it out, that you might be interested in it. So, and it covers a lot of North County. People come, that's their annual touch to what's happening in North County. So
might be worth it. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I wanted to find out before I pursued it any further, whether you'd be interested or not. Yeah. I'm not going to guarantee that it'll happen.
Where are they held, please?
It's a Richfield Junction Neighborhood Association annual meeting. Mm-hmm. And it's at Dollar Tree. That's where they hold it. They have a big meeting room.
Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree Warehouse.
Oh, there? The warehouse there on the... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mark Purcell's president, but we'll... like I said, I'll keep you updated.
Keep in touch, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything else?
No. Yep.
Next meeting, like Lee mentioned, May 6th. That'll be here. So at that point, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, everyone.